about the eternality of God's Word, that it will last forever. And here tonight, we again see the deity of Christ in a prophecy about His return at the end of the tribulation when He comes to set up His kingdom. So beginning here in verse 9 of Isaiah 40, the Bible says, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arms shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So, behold your God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would use your word in our hearts this evening to teach us, to change us, to mold us and make us more like our Savior. And Lord, we just want to lift up Jesus tonight and pray that great things would happen, not only in our hearts, Lord, but as we lift you up, we want you to be glorified in this service. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, as we see again, remember up at the beginning of the chapter, the Bible says there in verse 3, the voice of one crying in wonders, prepare ye the way of the Lord. That in the Hebrew is Jehovah, and yet that's prophecy of John the Baptist preparing the way of Jesus for his first coming as Jehovah. And now we have a prophecy of Jesus' second coming to the earth where it says, behold your God. And it's talking about good tidings. Well, Israel hasn't had those for 2,500 years. And unfortunately will not have those until they've gone through, as we read again in Sunday school this morning, until they've gone through the time of Jacob's trouble, the tribulation. But notice, if you would, back in Isaiah 9, again, a prophecy of Jesus and proof that when God is saying here, behold your God, He is talking about the return of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. Notice Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and of justice from henceforth forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is talking about Jesus. You know, verse 6 says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. And in verse 7, the increase of His government, Jesus' government, there shall be no end. And He will sit upon the throne and upon His kingdom. So Jesus Christ will return and set up a kingdom, a Jewish kingdom. Go now to Isaiah 25, if you would. Isaiah 25, which again, we see this salutation introducing God returning to earth, Isaiah 25, verse 9, it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. Will we be glad and rejoice in His salvation? So Israel will finally understand at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus returns to the earth there in Revelation 19, they will finally understand Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Jesus Christ is God. And they will embrace Him as their Messiah and as their God. If you would, please turn to Revelation 1, where we are told that when Jesus comes back to the earth, that it will not be a mystery or a secret. Everyone will see it. It will be a worldwide event when our God returns to the earth. Notice Revelation 1, 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him, even so, amen. Notice it says, they also which pierced Him. So God specifically said, first of all, everyone will see Him, but He specifically then points out the Jewish people saying, they also will see Him, and they will know this time who He is. He is Jesus Christ, Jehovah. If you would look in Job chapter 19, I want you to see something that in the oldest book of the Bible, before any scripture was written, think about this. The events of Job occurred before Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Because Job is way before Moses, chronologically. So, these things were recorded for us, but they occurred prior to the writing of the first five books of Moses. Which is fascinating when you think about it. And yet, Job, in the midst of his trial, sitting on the ash heap, losing everything, knew that one day God would return to the earth. Notice verse 25. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." Think about that. Job had revealed to him that in his flesh he would see God, his Redeemer, on the earth. Job knew he was going to die, like we all do. But he knew that there was going to be a resurrection. And he knew that one day God would come back to the earth and Job would see him on the earth. So back to our passage, Isaiah 40, verse 9. "Behold your God," it says in verse 10, "that the Lord God will come with strong hand." The Lord God. That again is God Almighty, the Lord God. "He will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him." So this is talking about Jesus Christ's return to the earth. And the Bible says that when he comes the second time, he will come with a strong hand. When he came the first time, he came as a meek and lowly Savior, born in a manger. The Bible says a bruised reed shall not be broken. He came softly, if you will. When he comes the second time, totally different. He comes with a strong hand. He will come and he will judge and he will rule, as we're told many times in Scripture, with a rod of iron. Back in Isaiah 11, if you would turn there, please, we will see that we're told, all of chapter 11 pretty much is about the kingdom. But notice in verse 4 of Isaiah 11, the Bible says here, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." We're told in Revelation 2 that when Jesus comes, he will rule with a rod of iron. If you go to Revelation 19, which is the record of the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, still in the future. And we have no question who this is. It says in verse 13, "He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Well, there's only one. I don't like the word person, but I don't know what else to say. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Okay, verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God." When Jesus Christ returns, he comes with a strong hand. And he judges the nations. We read about that in Matthew 25, where he separates the sheep nations from the goat nations. Jesus Christ will judge. Many will be cast into hell at that time and punished. Others will survive and go on into the kingdom. But then even in the kingdom, Jesus Christ, as we've read, will rule with a rod of iron. He comes with a strong hand. But it also tells us back in Isaiah 40, verse 10, that his reward is with him. So when Jesus Christ returns, there will be a judgment. It's not the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. That happens at the end of the kingdom. And it's not the judgment seat of Christ. That's a judgment of the church that takes place in heaven. It's a different judgment. It's a judgment of the nations. Jesus recorded this for us in Matthew 25. So let's turn there. And this takes place at his return to the earth, which, of course, hasn't happened yet. Now, there's some cults out there that say it already happened. We just kind of missed it. But as we read in Revelation, every eye shall see. It's not going to be a mystery. Everybody's going to know it when Jesus comes back. Notice Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. So Jesus Christ will judge the nations when He returns. And some will be punished, some will be rewarded. And it looks like, if you read on down to Matthew 25, we won't do that now, but if you read the context there, it looks like part of that reward judgment system is based upon how the nations treated who else but Israel. Because that's where we read the passage where it talks about, you've done this unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me, and you haven't done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you haven't done it unto me. How did they treat Israel during the tribulation? Were they Israel's friend or were they Israel's enemy? And there's going to be both in the kingdom. From the time of Genesis chapter 12, always choose to be their friend. Amen? Because God has always been very clear. His promise of Genesis 12 has never changed. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. Israel is still God's chosen nation, and God is still keeping track of who is Israel's friend and who's Israel's enemy. And that will especially be true in the tribulation period. And Jesus Christ will reward those who treated Israel properly and allow some of them to go on into the kingdom. He will punish those who did not, and many will be punished at that time. But when He returns, He comes with His reward. And He says in verse 10, and His work. And then this beautiful statement in Isaiah 40:11, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. Finally, after 2,500 years of tribulation and trials, Israel's shepherd will shepherd them on earth again. Won't that be beautiful? And of course, Jesus Christ here is also claiming to be the shepherd of Psalm 23. Most of us know that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But the Lord Jesus Christ, notice Psalm 80, is that shepherd, and He will again gather His children under His wings, as He says in Matthew 23, as a hen gathereth her chickens. Finally, it will take place. There's a 2,000 year or more delay from when they rejected Him. Notice Psalm 80, verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Israel has always seen Jehovah as their shepherd. And when Jesus Christ returns, He will be their shepherd. And now He'll be our shepherd too, because we'll be here in the kingdom as well. But here He's specifically talking about His people, the nation of Israel. You know, when Jesus came the first time, if you go to John chapter 10, He made it very clear that He is the shepherd of the Old Testament, which again proves His deity as Jehovah. But notice John chapter 10 here in verse 11, where Jesus Christ makes it very clear who He is. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. When He made that claim, the Jews knew what He was saying. He was claiming to be the shepherd of the Old Testament, the good shepherd. There's only one good shepherd. That's God. And so He was claiming to be God. Now, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, he also mentions, as he's talking to earthly pastors and shepherds, he also mentions Jesus Christ as a shepherd. Notice 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, it says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So Jesus Christ is not only the good shepherd, but He's the chief shepherd. And all other shepherds are just under-shepherds under the only true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Hebrews 13, if you would, just quickly. verse 20. Jesus saying he will lead his flock like a shepherd. He said he will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Remember the parable Jesus told of the shepherd that had the 99 sheep, but the one wandered off and he went out and found the one and brought it home. Again, he's going to do that for his people Israel. Notice Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he's the chief shepherd. That's Jesus, our Savior. And one day Israel will again be shepherded by their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, their God, Jehovah, the only true God, Jesus Christ, when he returns. And so here is a beautiful prophecy aimed at Israel, saying, Israel, behold your God. He's coming back in the flesh to rule and reign on the earth, on the throne of David, from Jerusalem. He will return with a strong hand, and he will reward some, he will punish some, and then he will feed his flock like a shepherd. For 1,000 years, Jesus Christ is going to shepherd his sheep physically. And we get to help because the Bible says that we rule and reign with Christ. But he will be the great shepherd, and he will be shepherding his precious flock, Israel, for that 1,000 years. And they will finally be in the land that they were promised over 3,000 years ago, that they chose not to take initially, and then after they went in, they chose not to obey and didn't get to take it all, but eventually the great shepherd will give them all the land that he promised, because those promises were all unconditional, and he will shepherd them like the great and true and chief shepherd that he is. So behold your God. Just another reminder that Israel has been waiting for one that already came once, and they're waiting again. Next time, they'll know who he is. Jesus. Amen. Let's pray.